Dr. D. James Kennedy, the ultimate founder of this radio outlet, once said, quote, "Religion has left all of the public spheres and retreated within the stained glass walls of the church or the prayer closet. We have left governments, we have left politics, we have left media, and we have left education to the unbelievers to take over and destroy what the founders of this country gave to us with those things," end quote. Well, there's a new book out that advises for Christians to do the exact opposite. In fact, this is someone who was impacted by Dr. Kennedy's center in Washington, D.C. for Christian statesmanship. Her name is Terry Hasdorf, and she even once ran for Congress. Her book is called Running Into the Fire, Why More Christians Need to Be Involved in Politics. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Terry Hasdorf to the program. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jerry. It's wonderful to be with you today.
So tell us about this book, Running Into the Fire. And I guess we should just stop and step back and just find out a little bit of your background. And why do you think Christians should be involved in politics?
Well, you know, I've been in politics since I was a kid, Jerry. I started working on political campaigns when I was in high school, went up to Washington on internships, and then eventually went on to work on Capitol Hill for about 6 years, worked on campaigns at every level, and worked in the governor's office in Alabama, and then was
Which
very
governor?
Honored to...
Which governor?
Governor Riley in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
And then worked at USAID, running the Center for Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, which was the international side of the president's faith-based initiative. And then eventually came back to Alabama and ran for Congress in 2020. And after I finished my race, I didn't win, but I prayed and I knew I was supposed to run. So I felt like it was a win no matter what because I was obedient. And I didn't know if I was called to win. I just knew I was called to run. So I did what I was supposed to do and I learned a lot. And then I took over Super PAC. And when I finished running that PAC, I really write this book. And one of the main reasons for that is because I realized there are just so many people who either feel very hopeless about politics and they give up, or there's people that just don't understand it and they've never been really trained on how to properly get involved and what to do to really make a difference. And so that's really the catalyst for this book.
That's neat. If I'm not mistaken, didn't you once say, I've heard you before in public settings, specifically where we were, you know, part of the training from the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship and so forth in D.C. But if I recall, you had gone to Russia when you were in high school, and when you returned to America, you kissed the ground, something like that? Do I remember that correctly?
Absolutely. You know, Jerry, when I was in high school, I was selected as one of 40 student leaders from across the state of Alabama to go to the Soviet Union on an exchange program. And I traveled with the governor's office and the people-to-people program. And we went to 7 different cities. This was before Glasnost and Perestroika. It was an opportunity to see firsthand what communism and socialism do to people. And I was just so overcome with some of the things that I saw there, the hopelessness, the despair, the oppression of the people. People didn't smile. They seemed to be very fearful most of the time.
Can I interrupt you real fast? Sure. I'm sure you had heavy escorts, so they would have put on, you know, the best face possible or that kind of thing. You know, they wouldn't allow you to see anything really, really bad. But even still, it was bad. Tell us more details. This is fascinating.
Well, it was, we were given a very, I think, you know, politically orchestrated tour. And yet there were certain things that you just couldn't miss. The food lines, the shortages of food, the people who were on the, you know, subway systems with us. And you know, here in this country, even if you're in New York or someplace where people are kind of hardened, and if you smile and you're friendly, usually no matter where you are, you can at least get some of the people to smile back at you. There, nobody smiled. And I just never will forget, you know, just kind of the hopelessness that I felt with some of the people there, most of the people. So literally after 3 weeks in you know, a Soviet type of environment, I came back and got down on my hands and knees and kissed the ground when we landed at John F. Kennedy Airport. I was so grateful to be an American, and I've never forgotten that. And it was really the catalyst that prompted me to get involved in politics, because we can. We have the ability to get involved and make a real difference in our government, and we still can do that, and we have to protect it and, you know, take full advantage of that while we can.
Now, that would have been, let's say, in the late 70s or early 80s, about that time, correct?
It was actually, 1987.
Oh, 87. Whoa. That's even later than I would have thought. Anyway, that's just a real quick question for you. I don't want to, you know, harp on this, but there were three Sundays there, since you say it was 3 weeks, you know, roughly three Sundays, depending on the travels and so forth. Did you get to go to church on the Sundays?
Well, we were, you know, there as a tour. And so I think we went one Sunday. We did go to a cathedral. There's a lot of cathedrals there and Orthodox, you know, churches. And we did go and visit. We had our own type of church service, because there were several Christians that were on the trip, and it was led by Christians. And so we just kind of did our own. But, you know, the religious nature there was very controlled, shall we say.
Wow. You know, this is so interesting to me, because think of that, about that, the basketball player, the lady that, you know, was in Russia in prisons, you know, for about half a year or whatever. She used to boycott effectively the national anthem. Now apparently she stands for the national anthem. Maybe she has an appreciation for America. But if as you look, Terry, at young people today, many of them seem to be clamoring, I mean Americans, pushing for socialism, and yet they don't know what they're asking for, do they?
No, and I think our young people have gotten socialism confused with social justice, and the two are very, very different. Anybody who's ever been to a communist or socialist country really does not ever want to see that come here. And, you know, that's part of what prompted this title for the book. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine right after I ran for office, and he had also run for Congress. And I said, you know, why do you believe Christians shy away from being involved in politics? And he said, well, because they're afraid of it. They think of it as being dirty and corrupt. I said, yes, that's what I hear over and over. He said, but you know what they really should be doing is thinking of it more like people who are in law enforcement or people who are firefighters, because they're trained to overcome their fear. And instead of running away from the burning, they run right into it. And I thought, you know, that's exactly it. As Christians, we're called to walk in faith, not fear. And this is a time in our country when we need to walk out that faith and get involved. Government is the mountain of influence that, you know, touches all the rest. And so that's something that is very critical for Christians to be involved in. And if we shy away from that, that leaves a void that somebody else is going to fill. And it may not be somebody that we have the same values of, and it may not be someone that we would want in that type of leadership position.
Now, I've heard many speakers observe that social justice is not biblical justice, but you said a moment ago that you don't think socialism and social justice are the same thing. So just to clarify real fast, what do you mean by social justice? And then we'll keep, you know, focusing on Christians in politics.
Sure. Well, you know, social justice is kind of the buzzword that a lot of younger people are very, you know, strongly in favor of, because they feel like that is something that is the right thing. And you're right, there is a difference between biblical justice and social justice. But I think there's a lot of confusion about all these terms. And what I'm saying is socialism is not equity. And I think that's what ultimately they're trying to achieve, is they want things to be fair for other people. And that can get misconstrued in different ways. Biblical justice is obviously the ultimate right choice.
Yeah, and I think that I just think it's a fact. We can strive for equality of opportunity, but if you strive for equality of outcome, it's guaranteed to fail. I was just reading in the Gospels, in Luke 19, where Jesus gives, you know, one of the versions of the parable of the talents. And there's different outcomes based on, you know, number one, what the people are skilled to do, but then number two, how much, you know, they actually work at it. So you cannot guarantee you know, the equality of, of.
That's exactly right. And, you know, as people who are people of faith and who are seeing what's happening around us, many times, you know, it can feel very overwhelming. And yet, you know, in my research for this book, I came to realize that there's just a little over 3,000 counties in America. Now, I may not be able to make a difference for the whole country, but I can make a difference in my county. And so it's really just a matter of breaking things down and figuring out, you know, praying about what it is that God's calling you to do, figuring out what it is you feel the most comfortable taking on, and then picking one issue or one race, one, you know, county race or state race, and maybe one election cycle that you're going to really lean in and get involved. And that's really what I'm encouraging people to do.
Okay, what would you say to the people say it's all rigged? And there certainly is a problem with some, you know, in some cases, voter integrity. What's the answer to that?
Well, you know, here's the shocking statistic that nobody takes into consideration. There's 67% of Americans identify as Christians, and yet 41% of Christians are not even registered to vote. So, you know, you can't win a game that you're not even playing. And so for anybody who says to me, well, I'm concerned about election integrity, my first question is, are you registered to vote? And do you vote in every election every time? Whether it's a primary, whether it's a general, doesn't matter. The primaries in many cases are the election in a lot of states. And so those primary elections can be even more important than the general sometimes. So it's, you know, it's a really critical time to just first and foremost do the most basic thing, which is make sure you vote. But even more than that, if you're concerned about election integrity issues, well, guess what? Right now is a great time to get involved with getting to know who your county election officials are and sign up to be a poll watcher or a poll worker. It is a critical need. And that's something that everybody can start getting trained for right now. They're going to start holding the trainings for that in the summer and the fall. And this coming up election will be a really good dry run before the big one in 24. So it's kind of like the pregame before the Super Bowl. So you can work out all the bugs and get to know what the system's like. And, you know, if more good people start flooding in to be poll workers and poll watchers and show up to vote, that's going to have an enormous impact in a lot of ways. And if you're concerned about election integrity, that's one thing that you can do to personally get involved to help.
Do you think that if Christians were to show up at the polls and vote their biblical values, we could make a difference?
I absolutely believe that, and I know that for a fact. You know, there's several studies. In the book, I talk about how George Barna actually did some research on this and measured some of the impact when evangelical Christians will just really engage. And it's a very high turnout when that voting bloc decides to, you know, very heavily vote. And that can make a big difference in even just a few points. Sometimes there's all it takes to sway an election one way or another. So, yes, I do believe that Christians can have a huge impact. And especially since 67% of Americans identify as Christians. Now, that can mean, you know, a lot of different things. But if 67% of Americans are identifying as something and yet many Christians are not even getting involved, political engagement right now is just critical.
Okay. And then how do we determine, you know, the best way to judge the candidates? You know, we don't all have the time to, you know, research every, you know, nuance about these different things. Especially, I hate it when they don't even let you know what party they're a part of.
Well, you know, I have some practical advice on that in the book, but I'll just say this. You know, you have to treat it like a job interview. And you have to take it seriously. So every candidate is probably, you know, in this day and age is going to have a website. You can first of all start there and call the campaign headquarters. Go by and go to a campaign event. You know, if you don't have time to really get involved and do a lot on that front, then get to know people in your county, in your city, or in your state who are really well informed on the different races and candidates, and get them to give you their ideas and information. And then obviously pray about it and do your own homework and make your own decision. But, you know, it's something where if you will just do the most basic research, sometimes you can learn a lot. And I always love it when people just go and get to know the candidate firsthand. I think that is really important if you can do that.
Okay, Terry, give us your website. We're out of time, but basically I have enough time for that.
Sure. It's godovergovernment.com. And you can find me also with, you know, all the major retailers for the book, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Amazon.
Okay, Terry Harrisdorf, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry.